Hey, you guys, welcome back to my Flickers of Fear movie review show. Hope you guys had a happy Thanksgiving a couple days ago if you celebrated it. And the movie we're talking about today, this is a movie that I actually originally saw probably back in the early to mid 2000s when I was kind of watching a lot of Japanese horror. And I remember really kind of digging it at the time and sort of images from it. Really kind of stuck with me after a while, and I was just like, I kind of dug it because like the premise was so weird. And then for a long time, like I would kind of think about it every now and then, like, oh, you know, I should really like revisit that one of these days because I remember that being pretty good. But it seemed like for a long time it was really sort of hard to get hold of. And then I noticed that a few months ago, I guess it was a few months ago, that Amazon Prime had added it to their lineup. And actually, so if you have a subscription to Amazon Prime, you can watch it on there for free. So I thought to myself, well, now is as good a time as any to, you know, revisit it and see if I like it as much as I liked it the first time. And that is the 2000 film Uzumaki. Now, interestingly, I was kind of doing, like I said, I just remembered watching it back in 2003, 2004. 2004, whatever it was. I'm sure I probably just rented it because it didn't get a theatrical release in the United States, except maybe on the West Coast. So it was like very, very limited. So it wasn't one, but it was one that I kind of heard about just because the premise was so strange and it sounded kind of cool. And I feel like it had some buzz around it at the time, like when it came out. But then I didn't really hear much about it subsequently. And when I was researching it recently, I wouldn't say that the horror community is, you know, that the overwhelming number of reviews were negative, but they were very mixed. It really did seem like a lot of people dug it to an extent, but I saw like a couple horror channels covering it that were just kind of like, this is really, really not good. Like, really not a good. Well, I mean, it doesn't help that if you didn't know, Uzumaki is an adaptation of the Junji Ito manga of the same name. I haven't read the manga, although I have seen a lot of the artwork and stuff like that from it. So I have kind of like, you know, flipped through it and I know what the, you know, what the gist of the story is. So a lot of people were kind of excited to see this brought to the screen. And so I kind of feel like mostly that people weren't necessarily shitting on the movie. It's just they were just saying it was kind of a disappointing adaptation of the manga, which is fair, because like I said, you know, books are always better. And I will say too that at the time that this movie came out in early 2000, the manga was actually not finished yet. So if you've actually in recent times, you know, read the manga and are like, oh wow, there was, you know, there's a movie adaptation of it, keep in mind that the ending and shit like that is going to be completely different. And the explanation for the curse or whatever it is not really, well, it's not really gone into all that much, but it's not the same as what was in the manga because the manga wasn't done yet, like when the movie came out. So this movie was actually directed by a guy named Higuchinsky. That's kind of his that's his pseudonym, I guess. His real name is Akihiro Higuchi. And it seemed like prior to him doing this movie, he hadn't really done a lot. I think I'm not sure if he did kind of like more promotional kind of work, like music videos or that kind of thing. So he's like a style kind of guy, which comes through very much in this movie. And after that, it seemed like he really didn't do much after that either. Like, he did another movie that was also a Junji Ito adaptation, and then he did another movie that was kind of like a battle royale type situation. So he did one like that, but I think that's about it, at least as far as, you know, as far as I could determine. I don't know. I just kind of feel like I didn't realize the mixed feelings that people had about this because, like I said, when I saw it back in the early 2000s, I thought it was like pretty cool. Like visually. And so in the subsequent years, you know, so I'd think about it like off and on, and I was like, oh, I gotta rewatch it. But I didn't realize like how, I don't know if I want to say divisive, but I feel like a lot of people, particularly people that were really into the manga, I kind of feel like they were really disappointed by this film adaptation of it because they thought it didn't really live up to the potential. Now, I will say, I'm not entirely sure how much this costs to make. I've heard that it only costs like $1 million and for 2000, that's pretty low budget. So I will say that a concept like this, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily say you need like a bigger budget because you could probably do it. I feel like maybe live action isn't the isn't maybe the medium for this, which I think was a lot of people's complaint. They're like, well, it should have been animated because you could have done a lot more without, because there's a lot of like really weird shit in here. And, you know, the film does a good job portraying that with the limited budget that it had. But I do kind of feel like animation might be better. Now, last I heard, and I don't know, this was earlier this year or last year, I heard that Adult Swim was doing an animated adaptation of this, like a series. So I don't know, like it looks cool. So we'll see how that goes. I don't think it's premiered yet as far as I know. Like I said, I'm not real up on the manga. I'm not real up on Japanese horror. Like, you know, I see it here and there, but my knowledge of it is very spotty. You know, this was just one that I had heard about back in the day because everyone was talking about how weird it is. And I remember digging it, and then I watched it again. Now I will say that this time when I watched it, I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as the first time, I think. I guess because it didn't seem as weird to me because I knew what to expect. And so I think maybe like the flaws of it kind of stuck out to me more. And the more reviews I read of it and the more research I did about like the background of it, the more I kind of like agreed with some of the criticisms of it as well. It's still a good movie. If you like really weird shit, it's kind of like, I know I use this a lot, but you know, it does have like a little bit of an unsettling, like David Lynchy kind of vibe, not overtly, but it does have a little bit of that. And it's kind of like, and it also, it kind of shades into like Lovecrafty type of shit too. Again, not overtly, but it has like a little bit of a surrealist vibe to it. And it's very kind of visual. Now, the thing about it, and I've heard that this is the case with the manga as well, is that, and I found this a lot, I don't know how, like I said, my knowledge of Asian horror is very spotty, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but it does seem like most of the Asian horror that I've read or watched has a lot more of an episodic quality rather than, you know, your typical Western three-act structure type narrative. So it's just kind of like a different way of storytelling. Like I found The Grudge like very episodic and, you know, various things like that. So this kind of goes like that too. Now, with the manga, I think, I don't want to say it's like a series of short stories or like an anthology because I don't think it quite is. It's all based around this one town and they're all thematically similar, but then it kind of just like explores different people in the town and how they're affected by this curse that's overtaking it. You know, I kind of feel like when they were first talking about adapting the movie, they were saying, well, maybe we should make it like an anthology, which might have been a better idea because the way this movie is, it comes across, I don't want to say it comes across almost like an anthology, like the stories are disconnected, because there is some attempt made to narratively link the stories together and the characters together. But it still has that episodic quality to it where we're just like going like this person gets possessed by the curse and then this person gets possessed by the curse or whatever. And then it just kind of like ends. And like I said, that might have been just a function of, oh, the manga wasn't finished and they weren't really sure where to go with it. Because the thing about the curse at the center of Uzumaki is that there doesn't really seem to be, at least according to the movie, and at least according to the manga, as you know, because I did kind of read the plot synopsis on Wikipedia, so I could kind of be more informed about that. But it really does seem like the curse, there's not really any way to stop it, or there's not really any way to fight it. So it's almost kind of like, you know, you're kind of fucked either way, you know what I mean? So it's not like you can have this big moment at the end where it's like, we've defeated the thing. It's like, that doesn't really happen. So you kind of have that too. So maybe from that perspective, like the way that the story goes is kind of like maybe unsatisfying. I'm not really sure. But so anyway, this movie, I guess in Japan, it got released on a double bill with the movie Tomy Replay, which again, I think that's because the Tomy books, that's another Junji Ito manga as well. So what we have here, the character at the center of this, really, or I guess the character whose eyes we're seeing everything through mostly, is this high school girl named Kiria. And she's kind of like, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher all the names, so don't come at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that right now. Now, she lives in this town called Kurutsucho, which I think means Black Vortex Town or something like that. So she lives in this small town, and the first thing she notices that's going like a little bit weird is that she has this boyfriend slash childhood friend named Shuichi Saito. And she sees, like, his dad kind of squatting down in an alley, like, videotaping a snail, like, climbing up the wall. So she thinks it's a, she goes over and, like, is like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Or whatever. And the guy just, like, doesn't even acknowledge her existence. So she's like, huh, that's a little weird. But then she doesn't really think that much more about it. Now, there's also this whole thing, like, kind of a recurring thing of this dude who has a big crush on her. And keeps, every time she's walking home from school or whatever, he'll, like, jump out in her face and be like, hey, like, I like to surprise people, and you have to be my girlfriend. And she's just like, bro, like, leave me alone. And, like, he's very, very rapey and, like, getting up in her face and everything. But it's almost kind of, like, portrayed as funny. I don't know. There is kind of, like, some goofy shit in this, which maybe, I don't know. I kind of feel like they maybe should have gone a serious way with it. Because as weird as this movie is, and as creepy as some of the imagery is, like, the mood and atmosphere of it are kind of creepy, but then, you know, every now and then they'll just be like this goofy shit, and I kind of feel like it would have been scarier, because it's not a scary movie. It has unsettling moments, the visuals are cool, but it's not, like, scary, you know what I'm saying? And I think maybe that's why. Maybe that's, and I'm not saying that it has, like, tonal whiplash or anything, it's not that bad, but you do have these kind of, like, she, you know, it's kind of like a creepy scene where you just find a guy who's just, like, obsessively, like, filming a snail that's climbing up the wall and doesn't hear you when you talk to him. So that's, like, kind of creepy, and you're like, huh, that's pretty weird and unsettling. But then all of a sudden you have this dude, like, jump in your face going, hey, I like surprise people, doesn't, you know what I mean? And it's just, like, goofy. And then there's one time, and I don't think this is repeated now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know why I just thought of this. But there's one part where there's, like, a transition. And, like, the transition is this kind of crazy, like, woo-doo-doo-doo. And it has, like, this woo-doo-doo, like, kind of cartoon noise. And it's like, I don't think that's done again. And I was like, okay, that was a choice. But, yeah, so, I mean, like I said, a lot of the stuff in this, and actually watching it again, there is a lot of stuff kind of going on in the background of this and the way that it's filmed that does kind of inform the theme of the movie. Like, sometimes, like, the camera will, like, turn in a spiral, or sometimes there's, like, digital spirals, like, in the background, you know, like, in the clouds or, like, in the wall or something like that. And, like, you don't necessarily notice them the first time you watch the movie, but then you kind of spot all of this spiral action going on in the background. So that's, like, kind of cool. But I didn't really get, like, some of the shots in there, I didn't really get why they were in there. I mean, maybe I'm just, like, missing out, or maybe I'm dumb or whatever, but it's, like, some of the stuff, like I said, that kind of cartoony sound effect, I was just kind of like, all right, I don't know why they did that, but okay. So she ends up talking to her boyfriend. She's like, yeah, what's the deal with your dad? Because I'm pretty sure, I'm paraphrasing. What's the deal with your dad? Because I'm pretty sure it was him. And he was, like, you know, filming a snail in an alley. What's that about? So then he says, yeah, this, he's like, my dad is losing his fucking mind, pretty much. He's like, he has become obsessed with vortexes and spirals. And he basically doesn't even go to work anymore. And he just, like, walks around all day and collects things that have a spiral pattern on them. And he just, like, puts them in the house. Like, it's collection now. And he's just, like, wigging out. We can't even get through to him anymore. So we don't even know what the fucking deal with that is. And, like, so Kitty is kind of like, yeah, that's kind of funny. He's like, dude, it's not funny. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So his whole story, and it's interesting, too, because even when I looked at the Wikipedia, like, breakdown of the plot of this, they even broke it down into, like, episodes, even though that's not necessarily, like, the order that the film goes in, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, we're like, oh, well, we're following Shuichi's dad, who becomes obsessed with spirals. And like I said, one of my favorite shots in this, actually, and they might have used, like, this partial kind of thing for the cover, but where he's kind of just squatting in the middle of this room that he's made for his spiral collection, and there's just all this spiral shit, like, all over, and it looks really cool. Oh, another thing too is that visually this movie is green, you guys. It's, like, super green. You know what I mean? You know how The Matrix came out and it had that green tint to it, like, you know, and then how every movie after that kind of did the same thing. You know what I mean? To, like, make it creepy. This movie does this. This is a very, very green movie. I had forgotten how green it was, and I don't have a problem with green movies. I'm just saying, I'm not actually even sure if the version that Amazon Prime got, because some of the visuals in this are so cool, and I just kind of feel like it looks sort of muddy. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that was just the transfer, or you know, I don't know. It just looks kind of muddy, and there's like a really strange kind of look to it. So some of the visuals don't look as awesome as maybe they should have looked because everything just has this weird green, dull sort of filter over it. Like everything almost looks monochromatic. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a real colorful movie. It's just like a very dour, like green film. So there's that as well. So the dad, he gets obsessed with spirals until it gets to a point where he decides, he actually has Kiria's dad, who's a potter, like an award-winning potter, make him like a dish with a spiral in the bottom and all this other stuff. So that's kind of a whole other thing. But he decides eventually that he's so obsessed with the spiral shape that he's going to get a mirror and like film himself with his, because he's making like a video diary of like all the spirals that he finds. And he gets a mirror and he's gonna film himself getting in the washing machine or the dryer and basically spinning himself to death. So actually, I thought this was kind of effective because how they build it up, because you know what he did. Like as soon as there's a thing where what's her face, Kyrie goes to the house to like drop the dish off like from her dad, and they don't show it, but it's like they just show it from the outside, and then you just hear her scream, and then Shuichi and his mom come home. And they're like, what the fuck? And she's like pointing over at the washing machine or the dryer or whatever. And they look in there, but they don't show it to you right then. They don't actually show you it until later. So they kind of like tease like what the dude looked like all spiraled up inside the. And actually, if you look at the drawing like from the manga, it actually looks really cool. But it just like turned him into a spiral. So there's that. So as it goes on, so he gets cremated and then. His, like, every time somebody gets cremated, which I think, like I said, was another chapter in the manga, every time somebody gets cremated, like, the smoke, like, spirals out of the crematorium thing, chimney, and then kind of, like, makes this big spiral in the sky. Now, his ashes, particularly, they go down to this place called Dragonfly Pond, and then I guess that Kirie's dad, like, goes to the pond to get clay, like, for his pots, and he somehow gets infected with it, but. I don't think that, like I said, there's not a real clear thing about how the spirals like infect everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't seem like, oh, you have to touch the person or you have to interact with the person. It just seems like random people get obsessed with spirals, like for whatever things. And so then it just starts to affect them in a particular way. So, like at the school where Kiria goes to, there's this kid who. They say that he's like, you know, doing gymnastics or whatever, like up on the spiral staircase, and he falls down the middle and splats in the center, which is actually like a really effective scene. But then some of the students, like there's this one kind of chubby kid who comes to school. They say, well, he only comes to school when it rains, and he takes like a really long time to get there, like he's always late, and he shows up and he's like covered with slime. And then he has like all this, like this lumpy shit, like coming out of his back. And then it turns out that some of the high school students and some of like other people in town are basically like turning into big human snails. So they kind of have that too. Like they kind of show, like later on, there's like a news report where they're like human snails in this town or whatever. And then there's like these human-sized snails like climbing up the side of the buildings and stuff. So I liked that imagery as well. So Shuichi's mom. She also, like, she freaks out when she sees, like, the whole spiraling thing from the crematorium, and I guess she gets infected too. They put her in the hospital, and then she starts freaking out, like, every time she sees spirals. So she does, like, gross shit, like, she cuts off her fingerprints and, like, cuts off all her hair because her hair is curly, and there's all this other kind of shit. And they're, you know, like, her son is basically like, oh shit, like, what if she finds out that there's like a spiral thing like inside your ear and all this other, which, spoiler alert, she does actually find out at some point, or she, like, it occurs to her. So there's that kind of thing. And then there's this girl at school. This is like one of the weird, like I said, this is one of the weird kind of comedic things that I'm not sure entirely works. But the school that Kiria goes to, there's actually this little clique of, you know, three little mean girls. They're not main characters or anything. I don't even know what their names are. But the head one is just this crazy, like, over-exaggerated. Like, she has these wispy bangs, and she has these glasses with a chain on them, and she's always, like, smoking. And she's, like, very, very, like, all of her gestures are very exaggerated. And she's always kind of, like, talking about how she wants to be the center of attention. And, you know, if you're not, if no one's paying attention to you, you're not alive, and all this other stuff. And I guess they're supposed to, they're setting up that she's kind of, like, the popular girl, and she has, like, all of these followers, you know what I mean? But when the spiral infects her, it doesn't kill her, because a lot of the spirals, when they infect people, people generally end up committing suicide in various, like, horrible ways. But it doesn't do that to her. It kind of, like, just makes her hair, like, super, super spirally. Like, it gets more and more spirally, like, as the time goes on, and then it's, like, this big crazy thing. And then it seems like all the girls in school are, like, now following her, like, she's, like, the spiral queen or whatever. So I don't think anything bad happens to her. But stuff like, there's, like, this reporter that comes into town, who's kind of heard about this weird shit going on. So he's, there's a little bit of, like, him helping Kirie and Shuichi, like, with their investigation. And then there's a scene where the creepy stalker kid, who's always, like, jumping out in Kirie's face, he decides, well, I'm going to make you remember me forever or whatever. And he jumps in front of the reporter's car and ends up, like, getting his body twisted around the front axle, which is actually, like, a pretty cool looking, I mean, it's pretty gross, and it's, like, pretty cool looking, but then, like, the reporter, like, smashes his head in the windshield, and that makes a spiral, and all this other stuff. So it's kind of, like I said, it's very episodic. It sort of makes an attempt, like, when before the reporter gets killed, they do this kind of sort of, and to me, it's felt a little half-assed, but maybe, I don't know, maybe I just didn't, like, get it or whatever, but they kind of almost wanted to make it seem like, oh, Dragonfly Pond maybe was the center of, like, there used to be, like, a serpent worshiping cult, like, a long time ago, and maybe that's what's causing this outbreak. But like I said, it's very half-assed and not really explored to any great degree. There's not really any explanation for it. It's just basically like, well, all of a sudden, like, people in this town started getting obsessed by spirals and started either transforming into snails, for example, or just decided they were going to kill themselves in ways that made their bodies spiral. And so you don't really have, like, an outside perspective. Like, there's a newscaster that comes into the town and, like, does, like, about the human snail thing. And, you know, she's basically, like, doing that. But they don't really say, you know, why this town, is it spreading outside of the town? They kind of seem to suggest that, because they're like, oh, the snails are all leaving the town. I mean, I kind of get, I think I picked up on this more the second time I watched it, because the first time I watched it, I'm like, wow, this is just weird as shit, whatever. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like I said, it's not a narrative. Like I said, it's very episodic. It is kind of linked together, like the characters and stuff, but it's not like some big overarching narrative. It's mostly just like, and then here's this person and the weird way that spiral got them. You know what I mean? But it's, so it's not that. But I kind of got, though, that I'm guessing that the spiral vortex type of imagery, they're kind of like, it's almost kind of like a metaphor for this little town, and like nothing ever changes and no one ever leaves, and it's that kind of thing. I don't think that was conveyed as well as maybe it could have been, because that's actually like a really good, you know, but there were some visual cues in the movie that kind of suggested that, so, which I didn't pick up on the first time. So there is more going on in this movie, and I kind of feel like this is maybe one that you need to see a few times. But I will say that it does have some weaknesses. Like I said, I could have done without, you know, sort of the more comedic elements to it, because I think that took away from the weirdness, you know, and the unsettlingness. Like I said, it's not scary, but some of the images are cool and, like, unsettling. The special effects are not great. It was 2000. This is a pretty low budget movie. So some of the special effects don't super hold up, but the images are so surreal that it almost kind of, like, gets away with it, because it almost, it's not, like, cartoonish, but, you know, it's, obviously it's not portraying anything real, so it can kind of, like, get away with it to a certain degree. Like I said, I kind of feel like it maybe would have looked better if it didn't look so muddy. I didn't mind the green cast. I thought that was kind of cool and made it sort of, like, look otherworldly and creepy and stuff, but I kind of feel like there could have been more delineation, I guess. The shots are actually composed quite well. and the visuals look good and stuff, but you know, it's just the blacks seemed a little muddy to me, and I'm not really sure, like I said, if that was just the copy that I watched that's on Amazon Prime. Maybe it was my computer, who knows? I don't really know what it was, or if that's actually what the movie looks like. Some of the acting was a little iffy. The main girl is fine. The guy that plays the boyfriend, Shuichi, I think this was his first movie. And I don't know if he's been anything since then. He just comes across, there's nothing wrong with his character exactly, but he just comes across as very unemotional. Like, it's almost kind of like, I guess in the manga, he was a more animated type character, you know, more emotional. In this, he just comes across like he's either in like shocked or he doesn't like give a shit about anything. Like, he just comes across like that. Like, he's like, yeah, my dad's going crazy from spirals. It's pretty upsetting. You know what I mean? It's just, he's very, very deadpan. And it's so, like I said, it seemed like an odd choice. And the kid that plays the kid that plays the stalker kid that keeps jumping out in that girl's face, he was kind of like irritating because he just seemed like, hey, I'm comic relief guy. And you know, when he gets hit by the car, I'm like, good. You know what I mean? It was that kind of thing. Because he just kept like jumping and she's just like, look, dude, I have a boyfriend, I don't like you. And he just kept like jumping out at her. And I'm just like, really? She's like, just sock him in the nuts. But I guess she never did. But at least he got hit by a car. So there's that. The characters, like the actors that played like the older characters, like the moms and the dads and stuff, they were all really good. Like I said, the acting wasn't terrible. It's just some of it was sort of bland or, you know, not. I just kind of feel like, particularly the Shuichi character, considering the horror of what was happening around them, it seemed like he wasn't reacting with the appropriate amount of, you know, holy shitness. It just seemed like he was very, I don't know, but you know what I mean. Just maybe that's, like I said, that was just the choice that he made, and you know, I'm not going to get too much into it. And again, because this movie was made before the manga was finished, it kind of just sort of ends a little bit abruptly in the sense that, you know, Shuichi gets taken over by the spiral and, you know, his body starts contorting, which is actually quite cool looking. You know, his legs start twisting together and he's trying to like crawl toward Kiryu and be like, you have to get out of the town, you have to get out of the town. They never leave. It's like they talk about leaving, but like I said, I think that was sort of like tied in with the theme because it's like, well, we talked about leaving the town, but we never leave, so it's kind of like you can't leave sort of situation, I think maybe is the implication there. But yeah, so his whole body starts twisting and he's just like, you have to get out of town, you have to get out of town before it takes you too. And then, but he's basically just like taken over by it, and then that's pretty much it. Like, he just like spirals up and then like kind of jumps at her and she screams and then it just cuts to black. You know, I think like in the end credits they have some stuff about things that happen with other townsfolk, because like I said, the manga is also almost kind of like I said, almost kind of like a short story collection, but all the stories are sort of linked. So the movie is kind of like that too. It is totally worth watching if you're into Japanese horror and you haven't seen it, just for the like weird ass imagery. But I've kind of, like I said, I haven't read the manga, but I do kind of feel like the overwhelming opinion of people that are really into the manga, because I think that's Junji Ito's probably best regarded one of all the ones that he's written. That seems to be a favorite. So pretty much everybody I read and know about that read the manga like thought the movie was pretty disappointing. You know, take of that what you will. If you haven't read the manga, you'll probably enjoy it just fine. But like I said, if you're a big fan of the manga, then it might just like bum you out because it's like, oh, it could have been so much better. But like I said, it was 2000, it was low budget. You know, the director wasn't super experienced. And honestly, it's an enjoyable movie. It has some parts that are kind of boring and kind of drag and stuff and didn't need to be in there. But overall, I think it was like a cool ass movie. And like I said, especially if you like really weird shit, and it's like the tinges on Lovecraftian. Just like I said, don't expect it to be scary or anything like that. But it did have some kind of like disquieting sort of atmosphere, sort of mood to it, and some of the visuals are actually like really cool, but don't expect it to be like super scary or anything like that because it's not. But yeah, so if you would like to see it, or if you've seen it, or if you've read the manga and you have an opinion about it, then please share it in the comments. As I said, it's streaming on Amazon Prime. If you have a subscription, you can watch it right now and share your opinion about it. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.